Hello,
Sabrina.
Yeah, hello.
This is Mark.
Yeah, hi.
How are you? How are you?
Not too bad.
That's good. Just tested the recording and it's going well, except your voice is very quiet. I'm just wondering whether you could keep your voice up so we can hear you better. I know you've always had a soft voice on stage, so you just need to sort of push it out a little bit.
Didn't have a soft voice?
I think a few people said you sang sort of in a soft, husky way.
In fact, when I did that thing with the Ethel Merman thing...
In Tarzan?
Yeah, that was it. She told me to... She said, belt up, girl. She said, I'm the belter here.
And she was loud, wasn't she?
Yeah, she really was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she really was loud. I mean, I saw her, was actually the first show I saw when I first went to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, she was really loud. And I came away with that impression of her, never thinking I would, you know, do a show with her.
I imagine that she was trained without microphones, so she really had to reach the back rows all the time.
No, they have mics hidden, you know, along the row, along the stage at the front.
Right.
Uh-huh. So, in every theatre they have that.
Right.
Uh-huh.
We haven't talked for a while. I'm just wondering how your health has been.
Not too bad.
You haven't done anything bad to yourself recently?
Done anything bad?
You haven't had any more car crashes or bad backs or anything?
Well, apart from nearly dying a few weeks ago.
Oh, what happened?
Well, it's a little personal. It wasn't anything I did. It was just something that happened and I didn't realize it. And so I started feeling... a bit, you know, dizzy and my blood level had gone down to 4.
Ooh.
My hemoglobin.
Ooh.
And apparently it should be 13 or 14, something like that.
Hmm.
So when they did the surgery, the doctor said, he said, well, you're lucky to be here to tell the story.
Indeed.
And that was like the first I you know, I didn't know.
Hmm.
Mm.
So how's your back?
A bit wonky because that show, you know, the guy in the back. Remember him?
Which guy in the back? Oh, Joe, yes.
Yeah, I mean, he lives forever. He picked me up and he picked me up, like, put his arm around the centre of my back, which has always been a tender, you know, area.
Yeah.
And he just set off, you know, hello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you, yeah.
Is Joe still there?
Yes.
I thought you were going to do something about that.
I know. I just don't have the heart, you know?
Hmm.
Uh-huh. And I don't even see him. I haven't seen him for, well, I shouldn't say that. I saw him about two months ago. And that's when he put his arm around my back and sort of, you know, lifting me and...
Yeah.
And that's a place you don't touch, and he's the one who should know more than anybody. And so I've been...
sore?
Feeling, yeah?
Been sore?
Oh, God, yeah, I've been in a lot of pain for it.
You haven't been in hospital recently? I mean, apart from nearly dying?
Well, they gave me, like, 5 pints of blood, and I'm okay now.
Well, that's good. I'm sure your fans will be happy about that. I've got a few questions that people have sent me for you.
Really?
And comments. I'll let the people know what your answers were. There's a message from Peter Russell, who said he used to work for Joe Matthews on Lambeth Walk a few centuries ago, and he remembers meeting you then.
Uh-huh.
So were you working, or were you just sort of stepping out?
Joe was kind of like a photographer who was, he made himself my manager, and he was just a nice guy, and he had a nice wife and family. And
can you remember roughly when this was? Before you went to London?
Before I went?
No.
No.
Would have been after years.
Yeah, after.
So I don't know where Lambeth Walk is. I was wondering whether that might have been Blackpool.
No, that's London.
Right.
Have you heard of Lambeth?
I've heard of the song.
Yeah.
But I don't know the actual place.
It's London. The Lambeth Bridge. And that's where all the cults are, I think.
The Witcher.
Cockneys.
There's a message from Alan. Now, this is a bit depressing, I suppose. Alan Bradley.
Yeah.
And he said, can you tell him where and when your mum and dad passed away?
Oh, my God.
For his family tree. I think he must think he's a relative.
No, I don't want to go into that.
Okay, I understand that. And another person asked, William Atkinson, could you settle an argument for him about, did you ever work on UK TV with Mr. Teasy Weasy, the hairdresser?
I think I met him, but I don't remember work. I never worked with him.
Right.
I was on TV with him. So?
I can fully understand if you don't remember these things, because it was quite a long time ago.
I know.
So later on, maybe, I was thinking maybe you could pull out one of your scrapbooks, not today, but you could talk us through one of your scrapbooks and the things that you want to talk about rather than just answering questions. So you might want to have
I've got a book here on South Africa that...
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah. I was going to send to you for 6 months, and Stephen's been away.
Right.
And he's just come back, so he'll probably to the post office.
Because I'm keen to know what happened after Australia and after your film career and in South Africa and South America. So that'd be nice to hear. We've got a message from Mark Needham. Do you know, remember Mark?
Yes, yeah. Uh-huh.
He says he's from Dallas, Texas, and he first met you at the Beverly Hilton. You came with Gordon and his lady friend, and you later visited him in Dallas, and he later visited you in Burbank on several occasions.
God.
And he says the Chinese restaurant with a lemon chicken.
Oh, my God.
And he last spoke to you while you were in hospital, and you did not want him to come and see you there. And he can still see the warm and considerate person behind your bright blue eyes to this day. And he can't put as much cayenne pepper in his tomato juice as you did. 1 tablespoon, he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
So he hopes this message finds you well, and he left his phone number in case you ever wanted to give him a ring. And I can give that to you later if you like.
Mm-hmm.
So, let me know, and I'll pass that number on to you if you like.
Okay.
We've got a message from Anne, who's 60, and she's been reading the site. She's in Warrnambool in Victoria here.
In Australia?
Yeah, in Victoria, down near the coast. Mm-hmm. And she has distant memories of my parents or her parents travelling 100 miles or more from the farm to Melbourne to see you at the Tivoli, and it was all a rather grand occasion with daily life on the farm. And she doesn't know much about you apart from a vague memory of a glamour picture in a magazine and a lifelong appreciation of good corsetry. And she asked me to tell you that she loved your...
Corsetry?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, corsets and bustiers and undergarments.
What's that got to do with me?
Well, you did appear in a couple of pictures in corsets and things like that, to show off your waist. So I think she rather appreciated your talents in that area.
Hmm?
I think she rather appreciated the way you looked.
Oh, I thought she was alluding to the fact I promoted them or something.
No, I think she just liked the way you appeared in corsets. And she said she loves your natural glamour and beauty, a rare thing not to be seen in the modern day.
Oh.
And a lot of people say that. They say that they don't see people like you in the modern media anymore because you are sort of genuine.
That's
and
what Stephen said.
Hmm. It's something that's sort of disappeared. Everybody's too commercial, I think, nowadays.
Everything's fog.
Yes. Now, the next one is from Judith Scholes, or she was Atherton in those days, and she says she's from Blackpool and she remembers you from nights at the Winter Gardens in the early 50s,
oh, God.
Which is where she thinks you first started to turn heads, and she hopes you're well and happy.